You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. Do we have any announcements this morning? And if there are no other announcements, we'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 29. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And Father God, we just want to pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Well, happy Father's Day. Got a few fathers in here. Is Father's Day worldwide? I wondered about that after I prayed this morning, and I had mentioned that celebrating something that's worldwide. I don't know if they, you know, in Afghanistan, do they have Father's Day? Do they have Hallmark cards? If they do, then they've got Father's Day. I just promise you that. You know, if they've got Hallmark cards in China, they've got Father's Day. That's just, but whether they're celebrating it worldwide or not, we're celebrating it here in America today. And I think it's a lot like Mother's Day. I think there's a lot of sentimentality and emotion that's wrapped up in it. And there should be. I think there's a lot of fathers that have been on both sides. You know, they've been children, and now they're fathers. So they had a father, and now they're fathers, and now they have children and grandchildren. Good to see them. Nice of you guys to come this morning. Good to see you here at church. It's a good place to be on Sunday morning. You never know what you're going to see. And I do have a little delight for you this morning. We're going to look at something from the Donna Reed Show. Some of us older folks remember Donna Reed. She was black and white. I don't know, you know, what parent was black and what was white, but, oh, it was a groaner, wasn't it? that was before they made cellophane in color. Do y'all remember those TVs where you just put the colored cellophane on it? Now we had color TV. No, I remember that as a kid growing up. Yeah, my dad wasn't cheap. He bought the finest stuff. We even had one of those Christmas trees that turned around and changed colors. You remember that? Okay. Well, getting old is hard. I mean, the aging process, and I think part of the problem is that relativism has permeated our society so much, and it's hard to tell what the truth is anymore, but I don't think we ever could tell what the truth was. You know, do you realize that the only time in your life when you like to get old is when you're a kid? If you're less than 10 years old, you're so excited about aging, you think in fractions. How old are you? Well, I'm 4 and a half. You're never 36 and a half. You're 4 and a half going on 5. We were at Johnny's the other night, and this young girl came up to our table, and she was doing balloons. You know, had that little pff, 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 and these long, skinny balloons, and she'd twist and turn and tried to do things. Ask her how old she was. She's 12 and a half. Oh, I'm almost 13. It's the only time you want to get old. When you get into your teens, now they can't hold you back. You jump to the next number. How old are you? I'm going to be 16. You could be 12, but you're going to be 16 eventually. Then the great day of your life comes. What day is that? You become 21. Even the words sound like a ceremony. You become 21. Yeah! And then you turn 30. What happened? Makes you sound like bad milk. You turned 30. had to throw him out. Oh, what's happened? You've changed. You become 21 and then you turn 30. And then you're pushing 40. How old are you? I'm pushing 40. Stay over there. You reach 50. See, you become 21, you turn 30, you're pushing 40, and now you reach 50. And then you make it to 60. By then, you've built up so much speed, you hit 70. And after that, it's a day-by-day thing. You know, you hit Wednesday. Yeah, we've hit Thursday. All right, we've hit the weekend. And then you get into your 80s. Well, we hit lunch. And then we hit 4:30. Oh, you probably had a grandmother winning by green bananas. You know, that's an investment, you know. It may be a bad one. And it doesn't end there. You know, when you hit 90, you start going backwards. I was just 92. It may have been 9 months ago, but you kind of go back a little bit. And then a strange thing happens, and if you make it over 100, you become a little kid again, and I'm 100 and a half. I'm 102 and 3 months, you know. Oh. So happy Father's Day to all you dads, and you're getting older and you're getting grayer. Life is tough. Let's join our hearts with prayer. Father, we thank you as you bless this time of fellowship and this lesson this morning of building our house on a rock and not on sand and the challenge that comes from it. That we realize, Father, that even though it is a literal story about a house on rock or a house on sand and wind and storms, it comes and beats on it, but it's not so literal in that effect. It's more of a parable. And from it, we need to glean the lessons of life that we need to be men who do the right thing and who do it now. So, Father, encourage us as we study this morning to honor you in all that we do, to choose the right, to stand against the wrong, to teach our kids that, live our life that, glorify your Son. And this we pray in His name and for His sake. Amen. Well, it's Father's Day, and so we're going to do a little excursion away from our Roman study. And in fact, we're going to be excursing away from it for several weeks. Champ's going to have next week, because Sherry and I and the kids and the grandkids are going to be gone next weekend. And I think the next weekend is 4th of July. I think you told me that. And so we're going to be off that. We'll do an Independence Day study that week, and then we'll get back to our Roman study. And if you remember our Roman study, there's a little bit of that in here, because, you know, in Romans we studied doctrine for 8 chapters, and in 9, 10, and 11 we studied dispensational differences, and then after that we started the practical aspect of it last week. But if you see how important that is, in verse 22 of our passage this morning, you see that there is a dispensational distinction here. We're talking about the kingdom. You see that in 22, but Jesus brings it out in verse 21. You saw it, kingdom of heaven. Verse 22, look at this. He says, many will say to me in that day, that day, that day. That's an important day. What day did you get married? You got married on that day. Always, it's not just any old day. It's that day. It's a demonstrative. Anybody here been to, I flunked 11 out of 12 English classes going through high school. I wasn't that good, but I did learn this, that when it says that chair, or when the teacher told me to go pick up that thing, whatever that was, and I just kind of blipped through it, and then I just brought back a thing, I got in trouble. It's that day. He's very specific. In that day, there is a day, and that's a dispensational distinction, and it's tied into what? It's tied into verse 22. He says, not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He who does the will of my Father. You ever ask yourself, what is the will of the Father? You ever ask yourself that question? What is it God wants me to do? Yeah, I'm always asking the question, what are you doing, God? But what is it that God wants me to do? And it's not just the will of the Father. What is the work of the Father? I want to do the work of the Father. Jesus is real clear about that. He says, he who wants to do the work of the Father, all he's got to do, believe on him who sent me. That's the work of the Father. See, that's that spiritual process that takes place in your life, to believe on Him who sent me. Believe in God. Believe on Him. Believe on the Father. That's that spiritual process that begins that new you, that new creation that gets started. But here it's the will of the Father. He says, not everybody shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of the Father. We got a really good example of what is doing the will of the Father. Jesus gives us that example. Turn with me to John. Hold your finger here, and Matt, we'll come back, but turn with me to John and look at what... Sorry, chapter 6. Jesus is instructing them that he's the manna from heaven, and that's in verse 30. And there are those who want a sign. But back up one verse, two verses, to verse 28. You there in John chapter 6, verse 28? Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? There's the will of God, now here's the works of God. What are we going to do to work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. And boy, once you believe, see, in Hebrews, Paul writes that without faith it's impossible to please God. But he who comes to God must first what? Yeah, believe on him. Believe on God. And also believe on him. I believe that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. I know you young guys that are here, and you know this is your dad's day, but I want to instruct you, because one of these days you'll probably find a girl, may not like it now, this idea, but you'll probably find a girl that you fall in love with. I pray it's a godly girl, and I pray that God has that aspect in your life, that you recognize how important that is, so that you're not unequally yoked. But you'll find a girl that loves God, and you'll want to get married, and you'll have children. One of these days, you'll be a father. You'll have a little baby girl or a little baby boy, and you'll be a father. And in the meantime, God wants to do something in your life. He wants to build you up. We're going to get to that building on the rock in just a minute. Because, you know, there are storms in life. See, we just had one blew out that light right there above Clark. There are storms in life. And I've always said that if you're not in one, get ready, because you're getting ready to go through one. And if you're going through one, bear up to it, because God is faithful. He hasn't left you, and he will see you through that storm, and you'll get to the end of it, and you'll be able to wipe your brow and thank God for seeing you through that storm. And then things will be calm. But there's another one around the corner. And that's just because that's just life. Now, if you wanted a perfect life, well, you'd still mess it up. Even our first parent, Adam, and his wife Eve, they messed up the perfect life. They were in the Garden of Eden. So don't think that you're any better off and you'll do any better than they did, because they walked with God daily and they still made the mistake. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But how are you going to do that? How are you going to build your life so you get to that point when you're a dad and you can do the works of God and you can understand the will of God and you can impart that to your children? Well, Psalms 119 tells us, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Where? Right here, in this book, in thy word. And he goes on, and a couple of verses later, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? Sin against thee. This is your defense. This book right here, the Bible, is your defense. I heard a quote this week, and I can't remember exactly how it went, but these two things has God brought together, and man can't part, dust on the Bible and sin in the heart. If your Bible is a Bible that gathers dust, watch out. Those storms are going to just beat and beat, and you're going to have a horrible situation in life come up, and you're not going to be able to stand up to it. I've been through Bible studies when I was younger with young men who got involved in drugs, and they got arrested, and it was a terrible situation to have to call dad up from the jail and say, help. Help. But you know what? Dad comes, right? Dad comes. Dad helps. That's one of the good things about dads. Oh, I told you I had a movie for you. We're going to come back to John chapter 6 in just a minute. This is a guy named Paul, I think it's Peterson. He was on Donna Reed, he's a young boy, and he sang this song. It was very popular. It was a huge hit back in the 50s. It was called My Dad.
Jeff, why don't you do the number for your dad? We'll back you up, won't we, fellas?
Sure.
I can't.
I think he'd like to hear it.
He isn't much in the eyes of the world. He'll never make history. No, he isn't much in the eyes of the world, but he is the world to me. My dad. Now here is a man. To me he is everything strong. No, he can't do wrong. My dad. My dad. Now he understands. When I bring him troubles to share, oh, he's always there. My dad. When I was small, I felt 10 feet tall. When I walked by his side, and everyone would say, that's his son, and my heart him so. And I only hope that someday my own son will say, my dad. Now
supposed to be a happy moment.
Thank you, Mike. Remember that song? Clay.
No.
Yeah, I don't even remember Black and White. Thank you. You know, I think dads, to all of us as we're growing up, are heroes. And we always remember, I just remember, I think it was Leland taught me this. He said, moms are protective and dads are corrective. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, dads teach us those things and walk us through those situations in life. Moms just kind of come behind us with a broom or a stick or a, wah, 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 wah. Get your room clean. Pick up that toothpaste. Clean up your socks. We've got a perfect situation here in John chapter 6 where we see what Jesus says about his relationship with his dad. Verse 36. He says, I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no ways cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, you know, as much as we love dads and as much as it's Dad's Day, there is a relationship that we have with a Heavenly Father. that should take preeminence. God doesn't want he doesn't want to just be a part of your life, and he doesn't want to be prominent in your life. God wants to have preeminence in your life. And the only way we do that is through his Son. No man comes to the Father unless they come through the Son. And it's so that relationship with his Son is so important to our relationship with God as the Father. And Jesus shows that to us here. He says, well, verse 39, "This is the Father's will who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." Turn over with me to chapter 8. John chapter 8. Verse 29. Speaking again of that relationship with the Father. "He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." I do always those things that please him. One of those key characteristics of our walk is exemplified by a characteristic of the walk Jesus had with the Father. You want to know how to do the will of the Father? We learned how to do the work of the Father. You want to learn how to do the will of the Father? Turn with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 32. And remember that Jesus said, "Thy word is sanctify them," in John chapter 17. Sanctify them with thy word, for thy word is truth. And so often we want to know what the will of the Father is, and so often we ask that question, am I doing his will? I mean, I'm not talking about out loud. I don't think I ever had any of you call me up and say, "Hey, Derek, I want to know if I'm doing the will." It's in our mind. It's in that conversation that we're having with him. We're asking ourselves, is this what he wants me to do? In Deuteronomy 32, it says, "Give ear," verse 1, "give ear, O ye heavens." You've got to listen. You've got to pay attention. You've got to hear the instructions of the Father. He's not going to withhold what he wants you to know. It says, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he." You remember back in our passage, come on back to Matthew, God has proclaimed, and one of the things that he's proclaiming is that he is a just and right God, and there's no iniquity, and there's no iniquity that can be before him. And one of the things we see in verse 21 is that not everyone that says unto me, in Matthew 7, verse 21, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" There are deceivers out there, and there are people who have even deceived themselves. Do you see that? I mean, they think that they are on the right path. They think they're in the way. I mean, look at all the wonderful works that we've done. And we did it in your name. What does he say? Verse 23. "I will profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Can't happen. Not for a righteous and a holy God. He's not going to put up with that. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" In the Word. In the Word. Stay in the Word, fellas. Stay in it. Verse 24 now really begins the lesson, because here it is with a dad. A dad needs to realize how important it is to build his house. And you notice there's two different kinds of people. There's always two types. There's those that do and those that don't do. There's those that believe and those that don't believe. Those that do hear the Word of God and follow through with it. They hear what God has to say and they obey it. Those that don't They give it lip service. They're hypocrites. They profess everything, but possess nothing. They promise you, or God, they promise God and still do nothing. Don't want to be that person. Don't want to be one that deceives yourself. You don't want to be one who thinks that you're in the way and you're not in the way. Two types of people. And how do you tell the difference? The first type does the will of the Father. He does the will of the Father. He does the work of the Father. And how does he do that? He knows what the will of the Father is by reading the book, by studying the Word. The Word. It's interesting that John relates the prayer that Jesus gave in chapter 17. He says, "Sanctify them through thy word." And in John, he begins by saying, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God." But you've got to give ear. You've got to hear. You've got to listen. It's so important to pay attention when God speaks. One of the ways that we can understand, if you'll turn with me over to Luke chapter 3, what God wants you to do, because it's not something that's always grand and magnificent. It's not going to put you on the front stage. It's not going to, in any way, shape, or form, put the focus on you. The focus is always on Him. But what you do is what puts the focus on Him. Here, John the Baptist in his ministry. Let's start verse 1. "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of..." Now, why did I pick this verse? Good grief. Can anybody help me with some of these words? What's that next one? Trachonata. Yeah, that sounds like something that the doctor needs to take care of. "And Lysanias, and the tetrarch of..." Oh, Abilene. Now, I know that one. They got a course down there in Abilene, don't they, Chris? They used to have a putt-putt course, and Chris always told me about Abilene. That's in Kansas, right? Texas. Why did I read that? There is so much history in that. I mean, when you begin to open up this book and you begin to study it, just stop for a minute and think how much history there is. You could Google, you could Wikipedia, you could get an Unger's Bible Dictionary out, you could get anything, any kind of study tool, and you could begin to just start going, okay, who is this Tiberius Caesar and Pontius Pilate, and when was this? Okay, wow, this book is fascinating. This book just wasn't written by me, and God put that in this book. That's why I read it. I read it just to say, hey, there's so much in this book. You don't just have to, we look for those little nuggets. You know, I know that Paul writes in Colossians that all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ Jesus. All, it's just full. But is not He this book? Is He not this Word? There's just, and you think, oh, that first verse, I don't know. What would that ever matter in my life? Who cares? Right? It might in Bible class if you got a test on it. But, you know, I don't know. I can't answer that question for you. But God put it in there, and you could study it and read about it. Verse 2, "Ananias and Caiaphas, being the high priest, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, the son of Zacharias, in a wilderness." And so here's John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias. What an amazing story that is, and to know that story. But you know, look at verse 10, and this is where we're really going. The people asked John, said, "Hey, what shall we do? What is it that we should do?" We always want to know what God wants us to do. And here in a very plain and simple and practical way, He explains to us. He explains to us the second great commandment, which is just do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. John in verse 11, "He answered and said unto them, He that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none." It's as simple as that. "And he that has food or meat, let him do the same. Then came also tax collectors, publicans, and they came to be baptized, and they said unto him, Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed to you. He didn't say quit the business, did he? He didn't say get out of that tax collection business. He just said, just do what's right. Do what you've been commanded to do. That is the authority that all these people live under. Don't break that authority. Don't do any more. Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And then in verse 14, soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, and here all these people are coming because they've heard the word of God. They've seen this son of Zacharias out there in the wilderness, and they've heard the word of God, and they want to be baptized, and they want to repent. They want to do what's right in the eyes of God. The word has touched the hearts and the minds of men and women. And here it says in verse 14, soldiers demanded of him, saying, what shall we do? I mean, have you ever stopped and thought about that? Whether you're, whatever kind of business you're in, whether you're a lawyer or an accountant or an appraiser or an insurance or a computer, in computer work, or a teacher or a doctor, whatever you're in, what is it you want me to do? And here we have soldiers. And soldiers likewise demand in verse 14, what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Yeah, don't take bribes. If you're in government, don't take bribes. If you have authority over people, don't exact more than what's been appointed. Do what's right. Don't do iniquity. And that's what he's talking about here. Be content with your wages. That's just amazing. I mean, you ask yourself, what is it I'm supposed to do? I'm a wife. Well, you're supposed to love your husband. You're supposed to respect your husband. I'm a husband. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to love your wife as Christ loved the church. As a dad, what am I supposed to do? He says, fathers, don't provoke your children, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. As a child, what am I supposed to do? You're supposed to honor your mother and your father. First commandment that comes with a promise, that your days may be long on this earth. And so one of these days you might be able to say, I'm 102 and a half. It's not that hard. And it's not some great big booming voice. You know, I'm just sitting around waiting for the Word of God to come to me. It's right here. It's right here in this book. Come back to Matthew. There's two guys that are building a house. You know, and it doesn't matter what kind of house it is. It could be a two-bed, one-bath, no garage. It could be a four-bed, three-bath, three-car garage. It could be brick. It could be sticks. It doesn't, you know, there's no big bad wolf that's going to get you. So it doesn't have to be out of hay or sticks or brick, you know. I mean, he's going to huff and he's going to puff. But as long as you have built it on the right foundation, whatever that huffing and whatever that puffing is, and let me guarantee you, you may be the cause of the huffing and puffing. It doesn't always just kind of come at you from the blind side, although a lot of times it does and you never expect it. You know, there's a fellow that was driving. He must have been 17. He was from Mustang, I think. I may have this story totally wrong. And he's driving down the highway a couple of years ago, and somebody loses a tire on the other side. There's three lanes on this side. There's a big barrier, and there's three lanes on that side. And somebody coming west loses a tire, and it comes bounding down the highway across the barrier that separates these six lanes, and it comes crashing into this guy's car. It kills him. What's that all about? What are you doing? I don't know. But if your house is built on the right foundation, on the rock, when the rains come and the wind blows, it'll stand. Those are hard times. Those are difficult situations. I don't think anybody can give you adequate explanations except God, and He gives it right here. You know, He says, trust in me, I'm trustworthy. Have faith in me, I'm faithful. He says, I am righteous, I am holy, I am good, I am just. I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll always be there. That's it. That's the important thing. We have two people. Doesn't matter what kind of house you build. Just says build it on the right foundation. Build it on the rock. Build it on Christ in your life. He says in verse 24, Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I'll liken him unto a wise man. A wise man. You know what the very first psalm says about a wise man? He said, blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or sits in the seat, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed is that man because he's a wise man. He meditates in this word day and night. And he shall be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And he'll bring forth his fruit in each season. That's a wise man. He's not like a foolish man. The foolish man in verse 26. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. A foolish man built his house upon the sand. And when the rain, verse 27, look at this. When the rain descends and the floods come, and they do, and the winds blow and beat upon that house, it fell. And great was the fall of it. You know, it's just amazing. And when Jesus teaches, he teaches as if he was one in authority. Not, look at verse 29. He taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. You know, the scribe is like the modern day lawyer who thinks he knows everything and he's got an ape-type personality and he's obnoxious as much as he is intelligent. But intelligent, you don't have to be unintelligent or intelligent to be wise. It's better to be wise and intelligent, I guess. You know, intelligence will help you, but I don't think it really matters if you're intelligent or not. Just know what God has to say. Hear the Word of God and then do it. And then do. Look over in Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to finish with this little story about two sons. This man has two sons. And ask yourself, who am I? Who am I? Matthew 21. We're going to start with verse 28. Actually, if you back up a little bit, you know, Jesus' authority, and even though he spoke as if he were in authority, and everybody knew as if he were one in authority, there were those who confronted him. There were those who disagreed with him. There were those who challenged him. And they came to him one time, and this is the story that we're talking about, and we're going to look at it, but let me just give you a little bit of the beginning of it. They came to him one time, and they asked him, they said, tell us, by what authority do you do these things that you do? And he said, I'll tell you by what authority I do it if you'll answer one question for me. John's baptism. Remember John, the son of Zacharias? John's baptism. Whose was it? And they said, oh man, if we say it was of men, well, all the people really liked John. And if we say it was of God, we disobeyed, you know, we confronted John. In fact, we let him get beheaded. So what do they say? Well, they said, verse 26, if we say from men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus in verse 27, oh, we can't tell. Liars, hypocrites. They knew what the right answer was. We can't tell. And he said unto them, neither tell I you what authority I do these things. But what think ye? And now he gives the parable. A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. And he came to the second son, this man, and he said to the same. And the second son said, I go now. And went not. Which of the two sons, Jesus asked, did the will of his father? Which of the two? And they said unto him, the first. And Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you that the publicans, the tax collectors, and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. How important it is to hear the Word of God, to know the Word of God, and then to do the Word of God. Not to be that lying hypocrite who promises to do what he's been called to do and then does nothing. But maybe once in a while to be that, the one who says, no, I'm not going to do it, and then repent and be sorrowful and then get busy about doing the will of the Father. Be better off to do it in the beginning. Just to say, sure, Dad, I'm gone. Got it done. Count on me. And if you got a problem, who's going to help you? Yeah, your Father will help you. Dads have always done that, by and large. Some people don't have good dads. Some people today, and this is sad commentary on society, there's a lot of folks out there today don't know who their dads are. You know, they got that common trait. Who's your daddy? And it's sad how many kids grow up out of wedlock and out of a husband and wife. And then we got that real extreme segment of society that's trying to redefine who a dad is. We don't need to go into that today. You've got a Heavenly Father who said He sent His Son in order to seek and to save that which was lost. And God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son so that we might have that relationship with Him. We couldn't have it apart from that. We couldn't have it apart from this new nature that God's given us. We need to take advantage of that. We need to enjoy that relationship with our Heavenly Father and be blessed by it. Let's pray. Father, we thank You how clear the lines are drawn, how distinct it is that there are two types of people, those that do and those that do not. We want to be those that do, even as fathers, as mothers, as sons, as daughters. We want to obey You. We want to bring glory to You. We want people to know that when they've been with us, they go, wow, that guy, that girl, they've got a Father in heaven. And they know Him. Well, Father, encourage us each day to spend time in Your Word, meditate on it, to study it, to apply it, to live by it, to glorify You and Your Son. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.